This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
What are some of the benefits that we get? Because when we look at this subject, many people don't see the benefits. Because no, I mean, this will put you to sleep. It's not going to wake you up. But the understanding of the afterlife is one of the key elements of the message given by all of the prophets. Because if there was no hereafter, then people would be working for no reward. And there are some people who work and work all their life and they never see the fruits of their reward, of their work. They never see it. Other people hardly work at all. They inherit wealth. They steal from people using interest and usury. They change the values of currencies and they gain millions of dollars in one day. But Allah tells us in Surah Ali Imran, verse 26, ثُمَّ تُوَفَّى كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَا كَسَبَتْ وَهُمْ لَا يُظْلَمُونَ And then every soul will be rewarded for what it earned, and they shall not be dealt with unjustly. And so there is an ultimate power above us. There is an ultimate justice, which will one day come to pass. Also, if there was no hereafter, people would live in psychological torment. Imagine, there are criminals, there are torturers who kill, maim, murder people, and sometimes they die in their sleep. Some of the people, the murderers of the world, look at Hitler and other people who died, you know, committing suicide, the so-called easy way out. And so you find many oppressors and people are living, suffering, and they're crying out, where is the justice? And they'll ask that question, if there is a God, then where is justice? So if everything ends in this world, then it wouldn't make sense. There would be no justice because of what we see happening in these short moments that we spend in this world. But we know that there is one who is ultimate in power and ultimate in justice, and he has revealed to us in his glorious book in Surah Fussilat, verse 46, مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا فَلِنَفْسِي وَمَنْ أَسَاءَ فَعَلَيْهَا وَمَا رَبُّكَ بِظَلَّامٍ لِلْعَبِيدِ Whosoever does good deeds, it is for the benefit of his own soul. And whosoever does evil, it is against himself. And your Lord is not at all unjust to his slave. وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَى وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَى If you do an atom's weight of good, you will see it. And if you do an atom's weight of evil, you will also see it. Belief in the hereafter also protects people from doing haram acts. And it protects people from fighting over the dunya. And it helps us. It is part of our shield of taqwa that helps us and keeps us in line. What is it that's making us pay zakat? What is it that would make you get up in the middle of the night? In this dunya, the protection of a society, in a secular society, the protection comes through the police. It comes through the armed forces. And we can see now what is happening here in Cape Town in South Africa. Without having a strong presence in the society, it's getting out of control. It's getting out of control. I can recall living in America in the turbulent 60s and experiencing a riot when people are totally out of control, smashing windows, grabbing television sets, taking anything they want in areas where the police would not venture. It is even reported to us that in New York City a few years ago, the lights went out. It went out for 24 hours. And that night, all hell broke loose. Some people say almost $2 billion worth of goods were stolen in New York City in one night. They went crazy, man. Because there's no police, there's no lights. They went crazy. So the only thing holding them is the fact that the camera will see them, that the police can see them and shoot them. You take that away, and it would be just as they call society dog eat dog. That's literally what it would turn into. And so the knowledge of the hereafter is part of that control. It is a psychological control mechanism. It helps the human being overcome the animal desires. And it is a crucial part of any believing society, and any believing family, any believing masjid. It also gives people the will to strive seriously in this short lifespan. Because really, if you're into math, and you sit down and think about our existence in this world, you might go crazy if you really know math, right? Think about something which is eternal. We're talking about eternal life, right? So if you take eternity and divide it by 70, okay, the amount of time that we may live, or even 100, it's equal to zero. It's zero existence. If you look at the actual time that this universe, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creation, has been in existence and will be in existence. And it was the Sahaba, radiallahu anhum, who cultured this understanding of the Akhirah until all the movements that they did in this world were connected to the future. This is very important for everything that we are doing, because we have problems in our masjids. We have problems. We have problems in our community. But the knowledge of the next life would help us to overcome some of those minor issues that divide one group from another. If we really focused on where we were going, we wouldn't have time to be fighting other Muslims because he's not my school of thought. He's not in my organization. He's not in my Islamic movement. He's not in my nationality. He doesn't speak my language. For some people, he comes from the wrong part of my village. We live on the hill and they live down by the river. We can't marry those people. We can't be around those people. If we realize where we are going, then the words of the Prophet ﷺ, that when you're marrying somebody, you should marry for deen. That is what will make you successful. Because it is ultimately the deen. It is not your money or your genealogy or your physical beauty which will save you on this journey. But it is the implementation of the revelation. Abu Dahda radiallahu anhu, one of the Sahaba, it was reported that he was a very old man. He had reached the end of his life. And he was planting a tree. And when they came to him, they said, "What is this? Shajara Jawz. It's a walnut tree. What are you planting a walnut tree for when it takes years for this tree to bear fruit?" And he told them, "In lam tanfa'ani, tanfa'u man ba'di, wa li ajruha." He said, "If it doesn't benefit me, it will benefit those who come after me. And I will get the reward for planting this tree." So that even at the end of his life, he was still working. He was still striving, and he was thinking about benefiting the people who would come after him. That is the understanding of the Sahaba. They think ahead. So when they're building a masjid, when they're organizing a program, they didn't just think of themselves, and we shouldn't just think of ourselves. We should think of the children, and our children's children, and our children's children's children, when we are organizing our community, when we are setting up our programs. This knowledge of the next life helps us to understand that there is a divine hikmah, a divine wisdom above us. It fills in the picture. We can see what's happening in this world, and it fills it in for us. It sort of tells you what's ahead. For some people, they like to know, and it's important, if you want to reach your destination in the right way, then you want some signposts. Even today they have in America, I don't know if they have it here in South Africa, they have what is called AAA, the American Automobile Association. And when you're traveling, they give you triptychs. So they give you a map and they show you how to get all the way to where you're going. The great scholars of Islam were the first ones to do this. Al-Mas'udi, Al-Idrisi, Ibn Qutiyya. They made geographies and they could tell you how to get from India all the way to Mecca. They give you a road map. They tell you how to get from Indonesia or to get from West Africa or to get to Chechnya all the way to Medina. So you will know what are the perils along the way. And so similarly, this knowledge gives us an understanding of what we are to face. What we are to face. The believer lives between fear and hope. And that is the essence of our taqwa. Taqwa is a combination. It's not just fear by itself. That's the wrong translation. And it's not just hope by itself. It's a combination of fear and hope. You fear the punishment of Allah, you hope in the mercy of Allah, and that gives balance. That gives a protection around you. And we need to think constantly about this fear and hope. And naturally, as human beings, we should realize that Allah is most merciful. And alhamdulillah, whenever we say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, we say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. That He is the most merciful, He is the compassionate. When, you know, He didn't tell us to say Al-Jabbar, Al-Muntaqim, the irresistible, the punisher, the one who takes revenge. Didn't tell us to say that. Say the most compassionate, the most merciful. That is our merciful Creator, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so, this knowledge of Al-Akhirah reminds us of the power of Allah. It reminds us where we are going and reminds us of the greatness of our Maker. And we can see how the Quran tells us, you open up your vision, open it up in a positive way. وَجَنَّةٍ أَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. And look forward to gardens whose breadth, whose width is that of the heavens and the earth. Beautiful gardens which are prepared for those who have taqwa, for those who have the consciousness of Allah and fear and hope. Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, أَيَحْسَبُ الْإِنسَانُ أَنْ لَنْ نَجْمَعْ إِذَامَ بَلَا قَادِرِينَ عَلَىٰ أَنْ نُسَوِّيَ بَنَانَ. In this case, he says, does man think we shall not assemble his bones? Yes, we are able to put them together in a perfect order, like the tips of his fingers, of his very fingers. Now, in using this and saying that we are able to put together in perfect order the tips of his fingers, what does that mean? This is part of what they call i'jaz. It is the miracle of the Quran. Allah is saying, every one of you, billions and trillions of people who have lived on this earth, I will reassemble every single one of you. So you say, well, how is this possible? So Allah tells us, just like I do the tips of your fingers. Science has helped us to understand that each person has a separate fingerprint. No fingerprint is the same on earth. Even twins have different fingerprints. Imagine this. There's no design that's the same. It's a different design for every single human being. And so Allah tells us, وَكُلُّهُمْ آتِيهِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ فَرْدًا. All of them will come to Him alone on the day of resurrection. You will be alone. He will assemble you and bring you back. And our fathers will not help us. Our mothers will not help us. Our tribe won't help us. The sheikh of the masjid, he can't help you. Nobody can help you. It is the deeds, the intentions, what we were striving for, every person, which will ultimately light our way and take us through these events that are coming up in front of us. But still, somebody might say, there's a danger in studying this. There's a danger, man. Because it can lead to extremism. Because, you know, there are some people who will just get so engrossed in this, they'll spend all their time studying about the Mahdi and Dajjal and the Isa is coming, and they're looking to see which one looks like the Mahdi. And one of them, he said, well, you know, my forehead's a little bit high. Maybe I'm the Mahdi. And you can see a number of cases in Islamic history, well, iyadu billah, of people who thought they were the Mahdi. Only recently there was one in Mecca who came in 1979. And these young students of knowledge were deceived by the evil one into thinking that their leader was actually the Mahdi. And they gave their lives for him and made a mess in the Kaaba. But alhamdulillah, when that event took place, and I happened to be living in Arabia at that time, and just 2 weeks after the event happened, we went to Mecca and looked, and the Kaaba was untouched. The building around it was ruined, but the Kaaba itself was untouched. And it was a lesson for everybody. But what was heavy about this incident, when these young students started talking about the Mahdi, hardly anybody knew what they were talking about. They didn't even know what the Mahdi was. Only some people knew, well, the Shia, the Iranians have some understanding of this. But Ahl al-Sunnah wa Jama'ah, what is our understanding? The common people didn't even know. And they were in a state of confusion. They didn't know whether to go to the right or whether to go to the left. And so this knowledge is actually relevant knowledge. And this knowledge will help us, even when we're involved in banking, economy, in politics, in any aspect of life, it will help us, but we need to have balance. And not to go to one extreme or to go to another. The Prophet ﷺ himself was constantly talking about the last day all the way through his prophethood. And Allah tells us in Surah Al-Qasas, verse 77, وَابْتَغِي فِيمَا آتَاكَ اللَّهُ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةِ وَلَا تَنْسَى نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. But seek that which Allah has given you in the abode of the hereafter, and do not forget your portion of lawful enjoyment in this world. Don't forget it. Okay, so remember, we say, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَا وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Look at that dua. And we say this when we're in between the Yemeni stone and the black corner. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَا. There it is. وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. It is so important. Every time we go between the Yemeni corner and the black stone, say this dua. Say it, man. Protect us from the punishment of the fire. And so, people have misused this. But it is the common Muslims, I believe, who now need to be empowered with knowledge. Knowledge can no longer stay in ivory towers. It needs to be the property of the whole community. But in doing research in this, in Mahdiya studies, who is Imam al-Mahdi? You know where the top or the strongest center for Mahdiya studies in the world is? It's in Tel Aviv. Why would the Jews want to know about the Mahdi? Why do they have documents, Arabic documents, thousands of documents, and they are studying about it? Why are they planting thorn trees around their airports in certain areas where Lud, the Bab al-Lud would be? Why are they planting the thorn tree? Because they're reading our signs. And they want to make sure that maybe if we're right, they'll still be okay. So they have a gambler's mentality. You cover all angles. And so we realize what is happening in the world today. The leaders of the world are involved in the knowledge of the unseen. And the more you study people in power, you will find that they spend their time on their weekends, they go to their Masonic cults, they go to their Satan-worshipping temples, they go to their guru, they do channeling, where they stand, they sit together and hold hands and hope that a spirit will come to them. They focus on a force, which unfortunately is probably the shaitan coming to them and filling their minds with madness. But they're looking at the unseen. And so this is important for us to get a strong base. These signs of the last days will also make our iman stronger. Even Ibrahim alayhi salam, the messenger of Allah, he needed to have his iman strengthened. And you know, he said, أَوَلَمْ تُؤْمِنْ, when Allah said to him, أَوَلَمْ تُؤْمِنْ قَالَ بَلَى وَلَكِنْ لِيَطْمَئِنَّ قَلْبِي. Allah told him, don't you believe? He said, yes, but I want to make my heart, my faith stronger, to make it more reassured. Also, this knowledge teaches us about the fitan, the trials and the tribulations we are living in right now. And there are fitnas that you will see coming in these hadiths. It's unbelievable how many things are happening right around us in our masjids, man, in our own homes. Fitnas walking up and down the streets. And the more we understand this, is the more we should be striving. Because it was this strive that helped the Sahaba to raise themselves in Iman to the point where the whole dunya submitted to them. And Allah told them and us in Surah Ali Imran, verse 133, وَسَارِعُوا إِلَىٰ مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضُ أُعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. And hasten to forgiveness from your Lord in paradise, as wide as the heavens and the earth, prepared for the pious. In another hadith, which is in a hadith reported in At-Tirmidhi, Abu Huraira radiallahu anh reports that the Prophet ﷺ said, بَادِرُوا بِالْأَعْمَالِ فِتَنًا قَقِطَعِ اللَّيْلِ الْمُظْلَمِ يُصْبِحَ الرَّجُلْ مُؤْمِنًا وَيُمْسِي كَافِرًا وَيُمْسِي مُؤْمِنًا وَيُصْبِحْ كَافِرًا يَبِيعُ أَهَدُكُمْ دِينَهُ بِعَرَدٍ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. This is a powerful hadith. The Prophet said, hasten to do good deeds before trials, tribulations, fitan come. Like a dark night, a man will wake up in the morning as a believer and by the afternoon be a disbeliever. Another will enter the afternoon as a believer and by the morning he will be a disbeliever. You will sell your religion for trifle things of this dunya. You'll sell your religion out. So you have to get this knowledge. By Allah's mercy, alhamdulillah, this knowledge has come to us. And it is reported that the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, said about himself and what he had seen. He said, how can I enjoy myself when Israfil, the angel who will blow the horn, has positioned his horn and is waiting for the command to let out the final sound. Israfil is in position. This was heavy on the Sahaba. This was heavy on them. And they complained to the Prophet ﷺ, and he said, قُولُوا حَسْبُنَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ. He said, what you should say is حَسْبُنَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ. When you feel that fear, that danger, you should say حَسْبُنَ اللَّهُ. Allah is the one who will take account of us, and He is the best to protect. And we should also remember that Allah tells us in Surah Az-Zumar, verse 53, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَصْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَتُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرِ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Say, O my servants who have harmed themselves, do not despair in the mercy of Allah. Surely Allah forgives all sins. Surely He is the most merciful. And Allah has told us in Surah Al-A'raf, verse 156, وَرَحْمَتِي وَسِعَتْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. My mercy surrounds everything. And so we enter into this journey, this series, and we pray that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us life, that we want to look at the soul and death, we want to look at the grave, we want to look at the signs of Qiyamah, the minor signs, the major signs, an understanding of the Mahdi, understanding of Dajjal, an understanding of Isa alayhi salam, of Ya'juj wa Ma'juj, the Dukhan, Ad-Dabba, the smoke, the creature, the fires that will burn, all of the signs leading to Qiyamah, then the Ba'ath, the resurrection, the Hisab, the account, and then Jahannam being brought in front of the people, and then the Sirat leading over Jahannam, and the ultimate pain and pleasure of hell and paradise. And we will end, inshallah, with paradise. With the hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would give us paradise and would protect us from the fire. Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullahi wa lakum wa assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.